extreme coffee drinking. We all know those people, or aware of those people. Maybe some of us are those people. I don't have a signal. Because I'm preaching to the extreme.
I don't know. Hey, okay. You sure that was my fault?
Yes.
Thank you, Spirit. We see those people that participate in, you know, extreme sports, or trying to find the newest, craziest thing, trying to take some trip to the next level. Maybe some of us are those people. Adrenaline junkies. And people who want to push the limit and try to get the most out of life. And I know that most of us certainly probably don't participate in such extreme sports, but I think all of us probably would say we want to get the most out of our life. We want to do it, but something we want to aim for, but maybe in more traditional ways. But we do push ourselves to the limits of our abilities sometimes to try to get the most into our life. We pack our schedules as tight as we possibly can to get as much in there, to try to do as much, to try to meet everybody's expectations, and we pack it all in there. We stretch our money, our finances to the edge to try to get, you know, the biggest house that we can, the nicest car that we can, to be able to go on trips and experience things and do everything that we possibly can. And so we stretch that budget as tight as we can. Maybe we even push those boundaries of our behavior. You know, we understand, you know, this is what God says is right, this is what God says is wrong, and we want to push it, you know, as far as we can to try to get the most out of life, which is really kind of what it comes down to. And we just push ourselves, maybe even to a point where we don't even realize it, but we've gone past our ability, or we've pushed ourselves past our limits. We're going to do something a little bit maybe unusual this morning. I'm going to get you involved a little bit. Don't worry, you don't have to come up here. But I would like you to turn to maybe three or four people around you. And I'm going to have three questions on the screen. And I just want you to talk with each other. Answer these three questions to each other. Introverts, it's okay. You can just listen. I got you covered. But otherwise, I'm going to let the extroverts talk. So here's our three questions. And just gather up, talk. Maybe we'll take 3 or 4 minutes to do this. So, of course, everybody always says, I don't have enough money. And then, you know, there's not quite enough there. How much money is enough?
Enough to serve God. Good answer. $1 million. He's quantified it.
To serve God.
I would say I don't think any amount should be enough, but it's right beyond that. But
on to our next question. How many hours a day do you spend doing what other people want you to do? Have expectations on you that you're trying to meet other people's expectations?
Work count.
Yeah, work count. Work count. 99%. I'm about 20.
Babysitting, working. It's an arbitrary thing.
Somewhere in the
50 to 65.
I'd say about 75.
You're at 75?
He's about half. He's 50 to 60.
What was yours?
I said 99. There are a few. I am forcing myself to take 10 hours. Which is always that.
And then our last question. Can you tell the names of four of your neighbors?
No.
And do so.
I know Jessica. She's our pretty name. She's all the way across from us. That's it. I know two. Questions, what they have to do with one another, but really, I think what they kind of give us some insight into is the way that we manage our lives, the things that are important to us, the way that we, where we put our resources, what we manage, and how we live. And of course, we all know each other, come to, you know, live in the same town, come to the same church, and yet there's also things that we keep private. You know, about, you know, how do we spend money, how do we spend our time, what do we do? And this maybe gives a little bit of insight into to what we do with that. And really the question is, in the way that we manage our lives, are we living our lives according to the purpose that God has for us? Are we living our lives according to His plan and the way that He would have us to use the resources that we have in our life? And of course, we tend to think more is better, right? The more that we can pack in there, the more that we can do, the better life is. But I wonder if maybe God does more with less. If maybe God doesn't want us to push those limits to the point of overload. The question is, can we trust Him to manage our lives, to manage our time, our finances, our life choices? So for the next few weeks, probably through the month of May, we're going to be going through a short series to kind of talk about some of these things and each different aspect and the way that we allow God really to be the Lord of different aspects of our life, the way that we live, the way that we use our resources. I want to give credit where credit is due. Some of the principles from this come from a Bible study that Andy Stanley put out several years ago. So I've heard that before. Yeah, it's okay. Let's start by looking at some things that Jesus had to tell us in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we're going to read verses 22 through 31. It says, Jesus said to His disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or weep, but they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will He clothe you, you of little faith? Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek His kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." So these are pretty familiar words. And of course, we know the message then is, don't worry, right? Whatever comes along in life, don't worry. God's got this, and we can get through it. But then the car payment is past due. And we have a payment on a second mortgage that's coming up, and we don't know where the money's going to come from.
And then our kid comes home and says, we need to send in $19,000 by Friday so they can go to basketball camp. And we're not supposed to worry? How are we supposed to deal with that? Or the boss has you working overtime. And this week your kids have 3 sports games and an art show and a play, all that you need to go and see. And your spouse is complaining that you don't spend enough time together. But don't worry. I'm worried. I'm worried about how I'm going to get through this. I'm worried about how I'm going to pay for all the things that I need to pay for. And now I'm worried because God says, don't worry. And I'm worrying. And so that eats at me. How do we deal with these things? And I think maybe, you know, in this race to get more, we've pushed ourselves to overload. We've pushed ourselves really beyond what it is our ability to handle. Physically, emotionally, mentally, we push ourselves too far. But that's just life in America, right? We don't know any different because that's what everybody is doing. But I think maybe the message, maybe what Jesus really wants us to see and when he says don't worry, is that that's supposed to lead back to the way that we put all these things in our life to begin with. Maybe we're supposed to slow down. Maybe we're supposed to ease off the throttle a little bit so that we have that space to not worry. Rather than thinking, I'm going to manage to get it all in, and I'm going to keep up with the Joneses, and I'm going to do everything that I possibly can to make everything work, and then when it gets too hard, then I'm going to turn to God and say, how am I not supposed to worry? Maybe we need to back up a few steps and see, how do we build a life, how do we put our life together in a way that doesn't lead us straight to that worry, to that stress? But it's all around us, and we see it. All you have to do is Google, you know, symptoms of stress. And you get a list like worry, fatigue, sickness, depression, panic attacks, insomnia, loss of sexual desire or ability, increased use of alcohol or drugs, eating disorders, high blood pressure, heart disease. And the list could go on. And all of these are things that Our culture has decided are normal. This is just the way that things are, and we try to treat the symptoms. We try to find a medication or something that we can do to treat that symptom, and we don't think about what's leading us into all that stress to begin with. That's not where Christ would have us to be. If we let off that throttle a little bit, maybe we could actually be healthier people. So what is it that we're missing? It's margin. Really? Can't believe it's not butter. margin, not margarine. Margin. And we see margin around us. I mean, we built it into lots of things in our life. What would you think if you were to open a book and see that in order to save money, the publisher had printed all the way to the edges of the pages in single space, to not have any extra space on there, and it would be so disconcerting, you probably would have a hard time even focusing or reading it. On our roads, we call it a shoulder, but we like to have that space, right? I don't know if many of you have spent very much time in Texas. They have a belief there that no matter where you are, and where you want to go, you should be able to drive there in a straight line. Which means if there's a body of water, they're going to build a bridge over it. And it means that they have roads everywhere. Tons and tons of roads. And they have, you know, the normal, what you would think of like an interstate, U.S. highway, state highway, county road. But they have another one. They have one they call a farm road. And it's somewhere between a county road and a state highway. It's a paved road. 2-lane, absolutely no shoulder, but you can go 65 on it. And it's disconcerting at first, and you're at these little curves out in the country, but that's the way that it is. And it's like, we want a shoulder, we want a margin there when we drive, so that when we need to, you know, mess with our phone or you know, get a snack, and we veer over, we're not off the road. We want that margin, right? Not that I would do that. Think about our cars. What does your speedometer say to your car? 120? 140? 160? I know none of you have ever tried it to see if it'll actually go that fast. But why would they make a car engine to be able to go so much faster than the speed limit, so much faster than it's safe to go? It's because your engine needs margin. Your engine will actually be the most efficient when it's running about two-thirds or three-fourths of its ability to go. And that's where you get the best gas mileage, that's where it'll last the longest, where it's the most efficient. Your engine wants margin. Or you can even think about, I'm up here and it's like I'm at the front of the stage. But, really, this is the front of the stage. But if I was to speak from here, I would be looking down all the time. And you would probably be watching, is it going to go off? No, put that there. You just watch that the whole time. Because we want a little space, right? We like margin, but we don't know how to build it into our lives. We don't know how to install it into the way that we use our resources. So we might just define margin this way. It's the space between our current performance and our limits. The space between our current performance and our limits. So that's the area where we can take a hit and we can keep going. The car breaks down and it's a nuisance, but I can pay the mechanic and I can keep going and it's okay. You can handle a crisis, or you can help somebody else. Your neighbor comes and says, I need help. And you can say, I've got the time, I can help you out. I've got the ability to be able to help you through this. We don't have to put it on the calendar for next September. But it doesn't come naturally. And why not? I think what it comes down to is fear. It's fear. Because I know even as I've started to talk about this, and what's going on in our minds, right, is that statement, if I slow down, if I back off, I'm afraid that, and you fill in the blank. But there's something like that going on in every one of our heads. If I was to back off, I'm afraid that. I'm afraid that I'm going to miss out on something. I'm afraid that I'm going to fall behind. I'm afraid that I'm going to let somebody else down. I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to do what it is that I believe I'm supposed to do in my life. We're afraid. But really the opposite is the truth. Because when we're overloaded, it actually seems that more is demanded of us. Amen. We have that feeling of, I just can't get ahead, right? And that's where our fear comes from, but it's actually coming back on us from that living life in overload. Is I just can't get ahead. I just can't get there. If I just had a little bit more money, if I just had a little bit more time, if I just had a little bit more, then I would be okay. And we keep pushing and pushing and pushing, trying to get that little more. And eventually, we'll crash and burn. Because when we refuse to have margin in our lives, it will be taken from us. Every year in the United States, it's reported there are 225 million hours reported of sick time taken due to stress-related illnesses. That's over a million people calling in every workday due to a stress-related illness. If we don't put that margin in our lives, it's going to be taken from us. We're going to crash and burn. We're going to fail to keep up. Because when we feel like we're at the edge of our limits, we're really probably beyond our limits. We're really living in overload. We're really living beyond what we can handle. Well, there are some truths of God that I think will help us to kind of get a perspective on this, some things that we need to understand. And the first thing is that God has created us with limits. God has given us limits, and they're good. It's good that we have this. And we can see it physically, the most obvious. I mean, you could lift weights all day, every day, and you're never going to lift a bus, right? Probably never even going to lift a small car. You've got a physical limit. You could be the best time manager that there ever was. And you could fit everything into your day and have it all right there to the minute and know exactly how long it's going to take you to do this and how long it's going to take you to travel here and how long it's going to take you to do this and fit it all in and make sure everything fits. But eventually that 24 hours is up. You can't add one single minute to your day. there's going to be a limit. But we have a harder time seeing the limits mentally and emotionally than we do physically. But they're there. That's the way that God has created us. There comes a point where we simply can't handle more. And if we recognize that and recognize that God put it there and it's actually a good thing, it's not just something to fight against. It's actually something to accept. It's the way that God has designed us to be. The second thing is that God wants us to be stewards of the resources he's given us. And we can look in 1 Peter chapter 4 and look at verses 10 and 11. He says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Now, when we read that and we think spiritual gifts, and I think that Peter's talking about that, he's talking about what we do in the church, but at the same time, we understand, isn't time a gift from God? Isn't our money a gift from God? Isn't our body a gift from God? He's given us all of these things. But he says he wants us to consider ourselves stewards. And that's a funny word, because we don't have stewards anymore. I think maybe the closest thing might be like a personal assistant. But that's not exactly right. But the idea was a steward was someone who managed the business for someone else. Managed their money, managed their time. Somebody who was in charge of what a wealthy person owned. And it wasn't theirs, but they had control over how it was spent, how it was used. And that was what a steward's role was. So God wants us to understand, he's given us these things, but we are to use them in a way that benefits him, that benefits his kingdom. We are to use what he has given us in order to build up him and what he's got going on, not just to try to benefit ourselves. We're stewards. We see it as a perception then of what God can do with what we have. And God can do so much more with what we have than we can. God can do so much more, and he doesn't need to be a slave driver. God can take whatever it is, however small it is, and he can do whatever he wants. He can do infinitely more than we could ever manage on our own with the way that we could stretch and push ourselves to those limits. We also need to understand that God works in the moment. God doesn't start laying on your heart, next November, so-and-so is going to be struggling to pay their rent. And if you'll start saving up now, then when November comes, you can help them out. God doesn't do that. God whispers on your heart, so-and-so is having trouble with their rent right now. And we're like, well, I can't do anything about it. I've got to spend all my money on my bills. Because we don't have that margin, because we don't have that space. But God works in the moment. God wants us to be ready to respond to him, to the opportunities he puts in front of us, in the moment, to help one another, to be able to, you know, oh, there's a mission trip. Oh, I have an opportunity to go and do this and this. So does it fit? Can we build space into our lives that we can listen to God in the moment? And I think maybe the most important thing to think here is that relationships happen in margin. We build relationships with one another when we have space, when we have time, when we're not worried, when we can be like, okay, life's okay, and we build relationships with one another. We build a relationship with God in the margin. Because when we're pushing ourselves as hard as we possibly can, that seems like we don't have enough time, right? I don't have enough time to be still and know that you're God. I don't have enough time to squeeze in church. I don't have enough time to open my Bible today. I've got so much to do. Relationship happens in those margins. The third thing is to see that God has actually built margins into his plan for our lives. God's built it in already. And we can see it very clearly in the Old Testament. We see how when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, and God sent Moses to come and to lead the people out, to take them to the promised land, Moses went to Pharaoh. And when he first came to Pharaoh, he didn't say, all right, God wants you to let all the Israelites go, and they're just going to be gone, and they're never going to come back. Actually, what he did was he asked for 3 days. He said, let the Israelites go into the wilderness for 3 days so they can worship God. Let them have 3 days, and they'll worship, and then they'll come back. And this is what Pharaoh had to say in Exodus chapter 4. This is verses 4 through 9. The king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. The Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you're stopping them from working. That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people. You're no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw. But require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They're lazy. That's why they're crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the people so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies. Doesn't that sound like the voice that's in our head? There's work to be done. You can't back off. You can't slow down. In fact, you've got to do more. If you can't keep, if you have time to think about things like worshiping God, you must not be working hard enough. That's the voice that goes off in our head. That's the voice of the enemy. It's telling us you've got to take up that margin and you've got to fill it up. You've got to take whatever space that is and you've got to put something in it. And God is telling us, relax, wait, see what I have for you. See what I have in the moment. And then God led the Israelites out of Egypt. And he took them to Mount Sinai and he gave them the law. And basically, he was creating a new society. And he was telling them, this is the way that you're going to operate. This is the way that you're going to live. And one of his first rules was, thou shalt have margin. He said, you work for 6 days, and on the seventh day, you rest. And that doesn't sound as strange to us because we're used to that. And in our culture, many of us may even get 2 days off a week, and we think that's normal. But it wasn't normal. They worked 7 days a week from sunup to sundown. And they hear God say, you work 6 days and you take a seventh off. And they're like, how are we supposed to do that? We live literally hand to mouth. We don't have refrigerators. We don't have canned goods. We don't have restaurants. If we take a day off, how are we going to prepare our food? How are we going to live? We need to go out in the fields and we need to work every day. We need to go hunting and we need to bring food in every day. It's got to be fresh. And if we don't do this, how are we ever going to survive? But God is saying, trust me. Take this day. I'm giving this to you. The Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. This is a gift. And then God said, I want you to work in your fields for 6 years. And the seventh year, I want you to lay off. I want you to let it lie fallow. I don't want you to plant. Let the land rest. And they'd be like, how are we going to do that? We're already taking a day off every week, and now we let our fields go. Where are we going to get our food? Where are we going to live our life? How are we going to manage this? And God's like, trust me. If you be about my business, I'll be about your business. And God's better at our business than we are. What we need to do is focus on his business. And then God said, when you bring all that in, and bring everything in from the fields, I want you to take the first 10% and I want you to give it to the priest. And like, you want us to live on 90% after we're taking a day off every week, after we're letting our fields lie fallow every 7 years? You want us to give a 10% to the priest first? How are we going to live on 90%? We can't ever possibly do this. And then God said, well, then I want you to take another 10% and I want you to give it to the poor. 80%? God, how are we supposed to ever make it? And then he said, and we talked about this when we talked about Ruth a few weeks ago. He said, when you harvest your fields, you only go over it once. And you leave whatever's behind for the poor to pick up. How? God, how can you demand this of us? But the message is, trust me. Trust me. Put that margin in your life, and I will take care of your needs. The birds of the field, they have all that they need, and they don't have to worry about it. They don't have to work all day to make their food. Trust me. And then God said, and we have no evidence that the Israelites ever followed through with this, but he said, every 50 years you have a year of Jubilee. He said, in that year you're going to celebrate all year long. And all your debts are going to be forgiven. And any land that you sold is going to come back to your family. And you're going to celebrate and you're going to worship and eat. It's basically once in a lifetime reset for every person. At some point in your life, you're going to hit a day of Jubilee and you get a reset. And we don't have any evidence they ever tried it. But God put it in there. God put it in there. He built in margin into our lives. What it really comes down to is trust. We're afraid. We say, if I do this, if I back off, if I don't keep the pedal to the floor, I'm afraid that. But God says, trust me. Start with the trust. Start with the don't worry and build a life without worry. And let me take care of those needs. Because I know what you need. I know what you need. Make it a priority to seek first his kingdom. And let God handle all the rest. Does that mean we always get everything we want? No, certainly not. Does that mean things are never tight, never stretched? No. Sometimes things get tight. But we can trust that God has what we need for us. Sometimes what he knows we need and what we think we need are a little bit different. But he takes care of us. Do we believe that God knows what we need and will provide it for us? Can we take whatever it is that's coming to our mind and we say, if I was to back off, I'm afraid that. Can we take what we fill in that blank with and trust God with that? Trust God to meet that need when we can't meet that need or when we choose not to meet it for ourselves. For the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some of these specific areas about how to build space into our lives that allows us to breathe and to listen to what God has for us the way that God would have us to use our resources. So the question for us to answer is, in what area of my life do I need margin? I'm going to pray for us. This morning we're going to start doing our service a little bit differently. Our worship team is going to come back up here, and we're going to have one song after the sermon here, after my prayer. If you would like to come and pray at the front, feel free to do this. If there's somebody else here that you would like to go and pray with or speak with, feel free to just go do that. I'll be down here on this front row of chairs. If you would like to speak or pray with me, that'd be great. And this is just kind of be a reflection time and then a preparation for us to go out. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have given us such wonderful gifts in our life. That you have given us life, that you have given us time and experiences in a world that we get to just look at and worship you and see your beauty and enjoy so many things around us. We thank you that you have given us money. Some of us a little, some of us a lot. But Lord, we understand that that's a gift from you. And Lord, all of the things that you give us, we want to use. We want to give back for your glory. Lord, help us to understand the best way to do that. And Lord, I know that a lot of us have gotten ourselves stretched so tight, we're not even sure how to give back. We're not even sure how to be able to focus things towards you because we've got so many expectations or we've gotten ourselves into binds and we're not even sure how to get out. Lord, we even give that mess over to you. Lord, that you can lead us out, that you can teach us how to have margin, that you can teach us how to have space in our life, that we don't have to push ourselves beyond our limits. Lord, help us to have faith to trust you with these things. Help us to give up the fear that leads us, that drives us to try to handle everything on our own. Lord, lead us instead to faith. Bring us into a place of rest before you, a place where we can be open in the moment to what you would have us to do, to the way that you would have us to live, to the way that we can minister to one another. Lord, give us just a place where we can live without worry in your presence. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.